The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2. In association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 11th of June, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely
Bird,
Sarah Ann Lucas.
Thank you.
That's all right. Professional.
Thank you.
Cool. We've got two great guests to talk to in the second half of the show. We've still got loads of tweets, loads of emails coming in. Had a tweet from the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, and they said, "Hello, Paul, enjoying the show. We'd love a business banker shout out, please." That's Michael Park Surveyors, primarily commercial agents over there in Medway.
Yeah, we had them in a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
They were on the show a couple of weeks ago. Really, really good. Really interesting. And quick little story about that. The lady that came on, Denise Ford, known as D Ford, on the Twitter, she has a massive following, and they actually listened into the show from Alabama. And the reason, apparently, is that the Alabama State College football team's star quarterback is called D Ford. Oh. And she got followed by all these people from Alabama thinking it was a quarterback, and it wasn't. But having followed her, they all stuck with her.
Wow.
And they've struck up a relationship. And they actually all tuned in and listened to the show that she was
That's
on from
brilliant.
Alabama.
Brilliant.
I got some fantastic messages from these guys in Alabama asking me strange questions about English rather than American English.
And stuff.
Really? Signing for the NFL next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that make you global, though?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're global.
We're
just
global.
Like me.
Just like you.
Just like Bird. Absolutely.
Imagine that.
Well done.
In your footsteps.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
What, being global?
Yeah.
We've always been global. We've always had Nurse Liz from Philadelphia has always listened. We've always had Chris and Miriam from Turkey listening in. And we've got a regular listener in Luxembourg. And it always makes me laugh because obviously we talk mostly about business in the southeast of England. But back in the early days when we were still on the farm in Dymchurch, I actually got a message from someone in America saying, "I didn't realise that llamas were native to England." I went, "Oh, yeah." Romney Marsh is alive with wild llamas, herds of them sweeping across.
Majestically,
yeah.
Across the plains.
Yeah.
Do you know they migrate?
yeah. They swim the channel to France once a year. That's why they're all clustered round here. What you got, Bud?
I have an email.
Do you?
Yes. The Marsh Academy here in New Romney is holding a careers and job fair on the 2nd of July for its 15 to 18-year-olds. I'm looking to put together a local business employer corner with around 10 to 12 businesses who can explain what they look for when they recruit young people. Maybe we'll have jobs coming up, or they can just have a discussion with a young person and tell them about the world of the work in the Marsh and the adjacent areas. That would be Rye, Ashford, folks, since that's all in Kent. And you should have enough space for some banners. And if you can spare some time on the 2nd of July, that's disgraceful. You know better.
No, I'm so sorry.
You know better. This is a media man. Thumping, can you believe it?
Thumping my cup on the desk.
Can you believe it?
Kill him, Bird. Kill
him. Hacks Media is professional in every way. Anyway, let's go back to this. So this is Terry. This is Terry Botfield. Now, what I love about this, he came on the show, 2 months ago saying about this. And he said he really wanted the Marsh Academy to open up rather than just it being very certain professions that they always have at these job fairs. And he's got a corner and he's got some businesses going in, which I love. So if this is something that you think, yes, I want to come in and speak about and really start to pay forward to the youngsters of what they're looking for, and that'll lead us nicely on to Love Island, by the way, you need to contact Terry. Don't speak to Terry about Love Island. So it's Terry at marshnetwork.co.uk.
He might watch it.
Yeah, you can follow him on the Twitter as well, because he has one of the best Twitter handles ever. His Twitter handle's TD Botty.
Yeah.
So,
brilliant.
Come on, Bird. We're all on tenterhooks now waiting for this Love Island
link. So look, we were talking about it in the break as well, and it's a big discussion around our roast dinner table. Usually we have big debates about politics or religion, and this week it was about Love Island. And it wasn't actually about Love Island, but it was about what title one of the women on there call herself. So she's a 20-year-old, and by the way, there isn't any cynicism from me at all. I'm actually, wow, okay, this is the way I'm watching how things are going. She labels herself an influencer.
Right.
Now, she's on Instagram.
Right.
And Stephen and I then debated with one of the girls, well, how can she be an influencer? How does she commercial? what's the commercial model? With that, one of the girls decided that she didn't like what we were saying, and this is our daughters, didn't like what she was saying, and that we were wrong then, of course, because age comes into it, and what do we know?
Yep.
But I found it quite interesting that we now have a job title of influencer.
Yep.
That we wouldn't have had even 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
2 years ago, that wouldn't have even come
up. Yeah, I mean, this is the mistake that everybody makes, everybody. And a guy that I know, he's a really, really intelligent chap, but he's absolutely paranoid about AI, and he's written books about it, that we're all going to die, AI is going to become a Terminator, it's all going to become sentient and stuff like that. What I've tried to point out, and his central thesis is there'll be no more employment.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that history will prove him wrong, and history has proved him wrong, because what we do is we adapt, we invent new jobs, yeah? And we invent new jobs based on the technology that arrives. And those of us that are old enough remember pre-technology and what was there and what wasn't. I started work in the IT business in 1969. There were two computers in Kent. I mean that seriously. There were two computers in Kent, and I worked on one of them. Okay. If you fast forward nearly 50 years, not only does everybody have at least five computers, yeah, there are now over 700 different jobs working in computer technology. And that's in a very short time frame ecologically. So those kind of things will always happen. Things like influencers are a bit interesting, because you ask, in what way do you influence, you know? What they actually mean is, I've got loads and loads and loads of followers, so if you want to get any marketing, you've got to get me to like what you do.
But then then we can get into that space of, actually, what does influencer mean? How did you get your followers first off and foremost? But how do I make a commercial model out of that?
We do have quite a few talks about influencer marketing, and there's basically a variety of different levels. I think that's the way of doing it. So you have micro influencers, macro influencers, and there's a talk about, so Cristiano Ronaldo, for instance, he's a footballer, he's classed as an influencer as well. He did a deal with Nike and increased sales by, don't want to say the figure off the top of my head, but a lot. Just by selling his Cristiano Ronaldo-based shoes and put some Instagram posts up about it.
Yeah.
It probably cost them absolutely millions of pounds to have done that.
Yeah.
Whereas he could have gone and talked to people like yourself, looking at birds or filming the radio, who are in a space where actually they're talking about athleticism, and you have got a following of people that would trust in your opinion. Mm. And what influencing is just somebody trusting your opinion enough to go and buy something.
But I get him. I get Ronaldo.
Yeah, but you are more beneficial.
I knew it.
Because his bite riding's even worse than yawn.
Because people would trust your
opinion. She's ignoring me.
Yeah, you've been vain now. People are trusting your opinion. People who know you personally, on a personal note, but also people that know you through business, will trust your opinion. So if they paid that tens of millions of pounds to loads of little people who've got a small following, like yourself and Paul all of us got a little bit of that money, they could have gone so much further in terms of their reach and also the trust in people that they had. So personal trainers is a big one. Personal trainers are used quite a lot to promote for instance, a new fitness spa or something. If they're trying to promote that through that, if they can give it to loads of local PTs, they're always going to sell it, and they might get a little percentage back, but they'll sell it, and people will trust their PT because their PT is the person they've gone to trust to get
them fit. Interesting.
That's where it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a story I was talking about when we were having the break. So there's an Instagram influencer, and she's failed to sell 36 T-shirts to her 2 million followers.
Yeah.
And the internet has its thoughts, which is fair enough. This is, like you said, this girl is 20, this lady is 18. I don't know who she is. I'm not going to name her. You can find the story. But basically what she'd done, she sees herself as a key influencer, so back on this, on Instagram, by relying on brand endorsements and partnerships to live her privileged lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So she's doing exactly what you basically just said. But many of her posts are just simple images of herself wearing a branded outfit or a garment or whatever it happens to be with a tag caption. But what she's failed to realise is that these brands are using her. She's not an influencer. No one cares who she is.
Yeah.
So when she goes chose to launch her brand because she thinks I've got 2 million people who are following me. No one gives a monkey's because they don't know who she is. She's just, to them, she's a model.
Yeah.
Isn't exactly. she?
And this is the point I was making to our girls, or one of the girls, on the round the roast dinner table, is where is the commercial model in this?
But in Love Island, it will be girls normally is the target.
Of course.
Young girls will follow, like the Love Island bottle is a big example of that from last year.
They productize that.
It's like any business, though. It's like any business. You can be well known for being well known, and that's, you know, our 15 minutes of fame is, Andy Warhol and all that. And a lot of people like this 18-year-old have fallen into that. She's suddenly got a large following, and she thinks all she has to do is rock up and go, I've got a T-shirt. That's not it. You know, if you want to make a business, you've got to have something that you're selling, and you've got to have credibility around what you're selling. And as Carl was talking about in the first part of the show, you've got to build relationships. The people that are successful at this are people that have built relationships with their followers so that they believe what they're being shown.
Well, if you look at about what happened at the cup final, with that girl on that went on the pitch. I mean, her boyfriend had 7,000 or 700 and something odd followers, and then it went up to 3.2 or something. I don't know the figures. But it just shows that basically all they were doing was just following, dare I say it, a good-looking lady that was,
naked.
Exactly.
I've seen the pictures, don't worry.
I'm conscious I'm on the radio. But again, it goes back to that old premise, sex sells. Because if you look at the really big influencers that are young and whatever, they're all about muscle, they're all about fitness, they're all about attraction, and they're all about selfies and everything like that.
Yeah.
But... there you go, Bird. Exactly.
Thank you.
There you are, Bird.
And you. It's my next business, you know.
That is only one type of influencer, though.
Exactly. But that's the whole point.
It's almost like cardboard. Yeah, and that fits that young market. But there's people like Paul who have got a following on Twitter. If somebody was trying to sell something like an accountancy firm or something, they can go to Paul and people will trust in your opinion.
Yeah.
So they can go to you and pay you to sponsor. And social medias have made a better opportunity. They've made a better opportunity you have to, whenever you post something that's been either gifted or paid for, you have to state that now whenever you're posting something.
Yeah.
So they know it's your personal opinion. It's something that's, it could have been swayed. It could be biased.
So this girl on Love Island then, what is she supposedly an influencer of?
Well, this is what we don't know. We've just got a label. And this is what I love. Yeah. Can I just say, and it sounds as if, I'm not saying that at all. I'm actually quite intrigued to watch how this is going to grow and take us forward.
There is a whole set of marketing, though, which is influencer marketing. There's companies, I'm trying to think, there's a really big one that do loads of daily, the Goat Agency. Yeah. And they're London, Singapore, New York, four places across the world.
Global.
And they're global,
Global.
And they, the whole business model is based off of influencer marketing. So I think it is a job title now. It's become
a job title. Yeah. That's it.
It is.
An influencer. I love it.
But like anything, you've got good and bad and lazy and competent and all of those kind of things. I mean, without being funny, at a Business Bunker radio show, we have a very old website. I am trying to upgrade it. We have a very old website, but it's difficult to move away because I have 900 blogs on there that have all kinds of information and data in them, to the point now where I get people every week contact me and pay money for me to post blogs mostly on behalf of their clients because they want to get people out and the blogs get read. And I'm happy to take their money to do that as long as the content is reasonable.
You change your job title to influencer now.
I was just going to say, it is true though, isn't it?
It is, but if you think about it, all it is a modern version of the original rationale for newspapers, Originally, when the first printed news sheets came out, they were people that, Samuel Pepys, an influencer, someone involved in whatever the zeitgeist was printing information based on their opinion. Yeah. And that's all a newspaper has ever been. When we look at our newspapers, the politics of each of the newspapers that you read. Before you open a copy of the Daily Mail, what they're going to say about something. Before you open a copy of the Guardian, what they're going to say about something.
If you look at the travel industry in that field of journalism, they've all been sent by PR people as well. They've been sent to places. So that's, again, it's been biased by something. Yeah. And it's a really important thing I wanted to quickly chuck in, is that followers it's a thing that a lot of small businesses fall into. Followers isn't everything.
Yeah.
It's a really big thing. So they'll pay a lot of people to talk about something. They've got lots of followers. Yeah. Actually, engagement. So that's the amount of likes, comments, shares, things like that they're getting is so much more important. And that's where that micro-influencer thing comes in. I was talking about earlier on.
Absolutely.
So there's a huge... They might have bought with their followers. You have no idea. Like, and that's maybe what has happened in that story is that if they've... bought their influence and they bought their followers, sorry, that they're actually not talking to anybody, to any real people. Wherever they've got engagement and people are genuinely interested in what they're talking about and talking, and their opinion matters, then they can sell products.
And it's almost an arrogance, exhibitionism, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. But it's that arrogance, exhibitionism, whatever you want to call it, that look at all these people, this is easy. You know, I'm going to be able to sell whatever I want now because people trust me as an influencer. Mm-hmm. No, actually, they like what you're wearing that someone's paid you to put on. It's not the same thing.
It'd be interesting
to
see how many followers you got out of the story, though.
Yeah.
It's almost probably a PR. It'll be a PR stunt, almost. Yeah. That's kind of what it is.
It's very clever. It's really interesting to me to see how this is going and where
so
we move with it.
I mean, you look at that football story, just how quickly those numbers escalated.
And that was all
done... through TV and through being, a news item within social media.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So we do social media talks, and one of the ones we talk about is the use of influencers. And, like, small fashion companies are just starting up. It's such a great tool because there's quite a lot of small influencers that actually are just really happy to receive a gift.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't necessarily need any money because it's a side project.
Gifts and flowers.
Exactly. If brand came to you and said, look, when you're out in your next race, we're going to give you this. Can you wear it? And then whenever a photo is taken, then a view, it's then used and it's goes across into some, potentially into some magazines. And then what they've done
They won't come to me. I lost.
But it doesn't matter. That's because if your photo's got out there, it's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. Did you see what you just said?
Did just say that.
Yeah, shame on you.
No, it was you. You said
you
it doesn't.
You called me a loser.
No, you said
it
doesn't.
You did an L on your forehead.
I did, but that's because
sorry, Carl. Anyway,
that's
ignore
because
him.
You said you
he's
were
like
a loser.
Naughty child. Ignore him.
Oh, this is interesting. I've carried on down the story. And the theory is that this lady has deliberately made this post and then deleted for a sympathy vote. So
brilliant.
Like we were saying.
It's
gained more attention for a potential second launch. But what it also reads on to say is that there's no faith in her now, so that will have gone wrong.
I bet she sells more still.
Yeah.
I bet she still sells more than she sold the first
Let's
time.
Let's see how many she's
publicity.
Sold.
Yeah.
Can't find
I love
it.
I just think it's brilliant. It's a game.
Yeah.
That's what it all is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just numbers. Yeah.
But I can remember years ago having to do some photography for a new product. It was a ski training rocker. You sat on it and then you using your weight, you transferred your weight and you kind of like trained for skiing. And the client actually got hold of her name escapes me, but she was an English champion skier, downhill skier. So that was endorsement. He was looking for endorsement. So, I mean, that was 20, almost 30 years ago. So that in its same sense is endorsement through influence.
It's the same, really, just different words.
There's very little new in the world. It's just how you do it becomes different. That's all.
Just labelled different, that's all.
Yeah.
To lead on from Love Island, obviously, the Americans got talents on at the moment, and if you've ever watched any of that, they all have a Dunkin' Donuts cup in front of them.
Yes.
That's, again, it's just like...
Placement.
Just product placement.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And that's a big thing, I imagine, in video as well. It's so easy to use it in video now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's crack on, because we've got some guests to talk to. And we've still got dozens of emails and tweets to read out. I've got this email from... Where's my glass? Oh, they're on my head. I've got
this
email.
Where you had the L.
Yeah. Join us for the next entertaining evening of storytelling. Each session will bring storytellers ready and willing to pass on their lessons learnt, the ups and downs of business, and to give a taster of life in their shoes. This is not a time for pitching products. It's a time to hear about the personal experiences of fellow businessmen and women. The stories could be amusing, challenging, inspirational, or perhaps even sad, but they'll definitely be worth hearing. The next storytelling evening is on the 11th of July. That's a Thursday evening at 18:45, 6:45. It's at the Innovation Centre Medway. That's in Chatham. There'll be lots of nibbles, drinks, and 5 fabulous stories to hear. So join us for a fun evening. If you want to get your tickets, go to Eventbrite, the Business Diaries tickets. I shall be there. It's a fantastic evening. I absolutely love it. It's one
First
of my favourite
really
things.
Things about it, actually.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You should do it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's really good.
I'm just writing it down on my pad right now.
I've missed one, and for various reasons. That's the only one I've missed, and I really regret missing it. It's a fantastic evening. It's something quite different, and it's really good fun.
Where is it again?
It's at the Innovation Centre in Rochester, in front of the airport there, on City Way. Yeah. On the 11th of July, so do check that out. I'm going to do one more big email, and then I'm going to get Nettie to introduce this week's Counting House guest. Coming up soon, the Tech Expo at the Clive Empson Suite at the Kent Event Centre in Detlin on the Thursday, the 26th of September, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. In the world in which we live, and we've just been discussing this, we're surrounded by technology, and any business that doesn't embrace it is in danger of not making the mark. Yeah. Technology is available out there, but what technology you really need to help you run, build and grow your business, and what technology is coming along for the future is what we need to know. The Tech Expo is a full-day exhibition and seminar for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business using the power of technology. You can meet with suppliers from different sectors, including IT, IT support, cybersecurity, software, digital marketing, online accountancy, software as a service, and many, many more. There are five fantastic speakers, including the keynote, which is Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help businesses. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence on cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the Chief Executive of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child & Child, who's talking about digital law and IP in a digital world. Really important topic. And Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie. This is a twist. Being human in a digital world. Yeah, about building relationships, as we've discussed a few times already on this show. There's also some workshops. There's Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 62 Tech. Stop the sales pitch, start the conversation.
It's really good to go watch that one.
Yeah, there's some weirdo bloke called Hacks, who we're going to talk to in a minute. And Hacks is from Prism Broadcast, and Hacks is going to be talking about the proper use of video and how it can propel your business forward. And then international speaker and all-round lovely lady, Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, having an adaptable content strategy plan. And then we're also joined by Claire Derbyshire from LinkedIn, talking about how using LinkedIn for your business. There are some exhibition stands still available. Do book there. If you're in the business of technology, digital or web, you need to be there because there's going to be loads of buyers. So you need to have a stand there. If you want to find out about either having an exhibition stand or just attending the event, you go to techexpouk.com and find out all about it. 26th of September.
Talking about Zoe Cairns, she runs a course called Influence. We're just talking about how to be an influencer. There you go. Maybe that's what you need to do.
Cool. And I've just had a tweet from Fruit Bowl Media who say, hello, Bird on a Bite and Vanilla Web. Don't know what I've said to you. Can we have a shout out, please? We're proud to be sponsors of the Tech Expo on the 29th of September. And we look forward to seeing you all there to talk about web design, digital marketing and podcast studio hire. There you go. Fruit Bowl Media. There you go. Right,
we'll be there too. Look out for me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, JK online.
Won't miss us.
You won't be able to miss it. You'll see him straight away.
Are you going
to
do a new shirt, or do you always wear that red?
No, he's only got one shirt.
I've got multiple of these shirts. Just to say, I'm not a minger. But we've actually got some. I'm just going to clarify quickly. I've got some new ones to be made. Yeah, our friend's a seamstress, and Joe isn't wearing it, but Joe has a matching tie that's made of the same material. And that's how you can tell that we're together, but he didn't wear it today.
Did you hear that? It's really posh. We have a seamstress. They're made.
Okay, let's turn her back.
They're tailored.
Turn her back. My best mate's a seamstress, and she does it for us for free because she's really nice.
I have to say, in the early 90s, I had a shirt just like that. So it's really quite good, the fact that fashion's coming
back. What goes around comes around.
You better get this back out, Max.
Yeah, do it.
Anytime soon, he's going to turn up in flares and platform shoes, aren't he?
You have no idea.
Call it vintage.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Listen, it's a pleasure to welcome back this month Nettie from Lift Accounting. It's good to see you again, Nettie.
He has no idea what my name is or where I'm from. Look at that. Nettie. I heard that.
I thought I did.
Did you hear him?
No, I was working on Twitter then.
Oh.
Listen, you should know by now, I'm trying to produce this show, sound engineer it, talk to you. And sort out the tweets and emails all at the same time.
I know. You're amazing.
Listen, Nettie.
Yes.
Who have you got for this? You're really bringing us good guests, but, you know.
I try.
Yeah, but sometimes.
This month there were so few good ones available. That's the problem. So few.
Oh, okay.
So there weren't any, did I? I'm trying to remember what it was that you just said about Hacks. How did you just describe him?
Hacks.
Weird bloke, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. So I was just going to pick that phrase up. So this month I've brought a weird bloke with me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He's got a t-shirt, actually. It says weird bloke on the back.
Lucky enough to be a client.
Luckily, Hacks, none of us are influencers, so this isn't damaging your reputation at all.
Thank God for that.
No, I've brought Hacks along this time because, you know, Hacks is like so many people. He's got a great little business. Mm. It's growing. He's got different things going on, and I think it's a great time to talk about what's going on in business, how he finds business, and what he's doing.
Absolutely.
And I think he's also a name that's quite well known locally.
Locally, is Hacks one of those influencers, isn't he?
People because go, what's his name? What's his real name? We go Hacks.
Well, I did use his real name right at the start of the show, and he got the right ump for me. He went, no, don't do that.
I think it's probably only Kay can use that, isn't it, as a telling off.
Word. Yes, yeah. Michael. It's usually Michael. That's it. Michael. In exactly that tone.
I know, girls are trained for that tone. We know, we can
it
do it.
It scares the willies out of me.
Michael!
Michael! See, that's it. See? But Hacks, generally
know. Welcome to the Bunker Show, Hacks. It's a pleasure to see you, as always. And we know how busy you've been recently, and you've got loads of things going on. But for the two people in Kent that don't know you and what you do, why don't you just give us a quick overview of what you do, Prisma Broadcasting?
I help businesses communicate their message to their audiences, primarily using video. But we also use all sorts of other channels that all tie into the deployment of video.
Right, okay. So give us a bit of your background. How did you get into this? What made you get into it? How long you've been doing it? You know, how many months?
How many months? Well, I was a photographer many, many years ago, and then that went into becoming a videographer, as it were.
Yeah.
And then because I come from Africa, I was lucky enough to get a couple of gigs on location out there and started working for the History Channel, Animal Planet and Nat Geo. And then went on from there, being a cameraman, then eventually a cameraman director, and then eventually director-producer.
Right.
Then when I came back, I don't know, very early 2000s, back to the UK, I suddenly saw a gap because video was becoming of age, as it were, on the internet.
Sure. Yep.
And thought, well, okay, why don't I use my documentary skills to help businesses tell their story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then I felt corporate films and videos were quite staid and, you know, unimaginative, really.
It's something that suddenly just mushroom, doesn't it? And again, based on technology, because we all walk around with a video camera in our pockets. I mean, years ago, I owned a video camera, yeah? And when you went on holiday, you got it out, you tried to find the batteries, you tried to find a charger, you recharged the batteries, you took it on holiday, you filmed the kids for 5 minutes, then you put it away and forgot about it for a couple of years again. And that was it. That was about the use of video. Now, because we all carry a video camera with us, it's kind of taken off. But you can get all kinds of nonsense.
Well, when I came on the show a few years ago now, it must almost be 3 years ago now, I was talking about the fact that video is actually becoming more popular.
Yeah.
Now it is popular. People have actually grabbed hold of it.
Yeah.
But the danger of what's happening now is that people are scrolling through just as quickly on from stills pictures on video because there's two things that are happening. Video is not engaging and it's not entertaining. So,
I get to the point, otherwise I get in trouble because when I go to bed, I tend to read on my phone for a little while. Yeah. And if I'm scrolling through anything and a video comes on, I get the elbow and turn it off. So I actually do scroll straight past the videos without even looking so that they don't auto turn on.
Subtitles as well, aren't they, at the moment? That's a big stat about. I think social media is pushing video a lot more now, algorithms wise.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't actually turn the sound on. A lot of people listen to their video without the sound on.
Yeah. I personally have a little bugbear about that. I actually get 100% the use of subtitle or captions. And I have used them quite often when I can't turn sound up and so forth. But if you're going to make a video and you're going to rely on captions, you are missing out on one third of the most powerful thing about video, and that is sound.
Mm.
You know, and sound. It needs to be both. When you mix sound with visuals, we take on board information so much faster.
Mm.
So I think that if you if you do that and allow yourself to do that and lean into it, then I think you're missing an opportunity. Yes, tease people maybe at the beginning, tell them what the content is, where they can read it. But it's so easy now to save a video to watch later. Mm-hmm. And if the content is engaging enough, you will save it. I do. I've got about 30 videos on my save thing on Facebook that I know I'll go back to when I have a cup of tea or whatever, and I'll sit down and watch them.
You can put them into collections now as well, don't you? If you say something you want to watch about business or a person, you can split it into where you want to put it. So it's really simply done.
Exactly. So there's a school for thought that you must have it captioned, but I personally think that you're encouraging people to disengage.
Mm. Yeah, and the worst thing you can do is to use the free YouTube one where it just makes words up. It just puts random. It tries and guesses at what you're saying, and it very often gets it wrong and terribly wrong.
That'd be a fun one to look at.
Yeah, that's probably
it's no good if you've got dyslexia. I tell you.
So let's kind of explore this more, because you're absolutely right. The last time you came on and talked to us, you warned us that video was going to come, and we need to, and that prophecy has come true big time. It's all about video now. A huge amount of interaction is about video. One of the things for me, looking at a lot of the stuff we get, and I divide this into two things. You get selfie videos, which I find they're just frivolous things that we all, a bit to camera, just say hello, no, we're very nice or whatever. They're not really that big a deal. Then you get proper stories or interviews or informational things presented in a video format. What fascinates me, and I want to hear your views on this, is looking at markets. We've talked about influencers, and I made reference earlier to blogs and things like that. The print industry has been completely renovated by technology, and by that I mean that even print newspapers now make most of their money online. Yeah, it's all clickbait stuff. The newspaper, you might as well give it away, because nobody, it's just out of date by the time you get it anyway. So they've all had to migrate to online. It's all about blogs. It's all about that kind of stuff. Radio has radically changed. Still a fantastic medium, but again, it's moved to the internet. It's FM. If you look at across the whole spectrum of radio, that even the big radio groups are shedding staff. They don't do local radio anymore. They're moving away from it because the business models don't work. At the same time, there's a million new internet radio stations, all with their own niches. And I think TV and video is going the same way. Yeah, the BBC just make me laugh. They've come out with this killer in the last couple of days that they're going to remove free licences from old people. I mean, they're bloody lucky they get a licence at all, let alone, removing free ones. It's ridiculous. The model of TV has changed. Satellite changed that a lot. But the internet and Netflix has changed it even more. What do you see in terms of, I know TV isn't video and video isn't TV necessarily, but what do you see in that whole marketplace? Having got it right a few years ago, I want to know what you think is where it's going now.
Well, you mentioned when you gave a shout out just now about stories.
Yeah,
stories are the quickest way and the easiest way to get us engaged into things. We've just heard Bird's story about her competition just recently. Stories will engage us all the time.
Yeah.
So there's no, we need to lean into that and do that. But if you look, TV gets it right.
Yeah,
you've got to look at TV to find out how they're engaging, how they're getting bums on seats.
Yeah,
and if you listen, it's all about the tease. It's all about the way in which it's pitched and everything like that. If you look towards that, then you can't go wrong, really. Right. People like Russell Brand and a couple of the other really good actors and actresses, they're all putting opinion posts up, and they're all influencing with their phones, and they're just sitting there talking. But if you look at that in the way they're doing it interestingly.
Yeah.
And you end up watching, yes, okay, they're celebrity, and you've got to get over that hurdle, as it were. But it's all about engagement. We've got 7 seconds, they say now, to for someone to actually make up a mind, or are they going to just scroll through?
Yeah.
So if you come online in the car and you say, oh, I've just, been to the gym and whatever, or I'm going to wait for Jack so-and-so to come online a minute and whatever. You've lost them.
Yeah.
You've lost them. They've gone already. But if you engage with really super tantalizing content right from the beginning, you will engage.
Do you think there is a time limit in anything? I've read once, and you'll be able to tell me this if this is true or not. I've read once that the reason that a TV program is 30 minutes long is when the BBC first launched, they were the first television station in the world in 1923. That was the longest piece of tape they had.
That's exactly why. 26 seconds, 26
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
Because you knew a beat of tape was 30 minutes.
Yeah. But is there a thing now where, you know, we talk about people's attention span being shorter? Is there an optimal size? Just while you're thinking about that, I used to work for Goldman Sachs, the investment bank. Goldman Sachs do a weekly video, which they post on Twitter, which is an interview. And it's an interview between a professional interviewer and one of their specialists. And they'll talk about, you know, like exotics or foreign exchange or whatever, or the bond market. And they do 10-minute videos of that. I find them interesting because it's a soundbite that you can absorb, yeah, without having, you know, you can take in the information, think about the information, and it's there. Do you have any feelings on the optimal size of these kind of things?
I think it's going to get longer.
Yeah.
Facebook are pushing all of us now to start making longer, long-tail content.
Right.
Simply because they want to have, and they will promote, videos that they can then advertise or provide advertising around.
Right.
It's part of their model.
Right.
But at the same time, yes, you can tease, but if you get your strategy right, get them, again, coming back to websites,
yeah.
have the long-tail content on your website and tease in social media with a trailer. Why not? TV yeah. does it all the time. You know, yeah. they say, you know, watch Killing Eve or whatever, and it's a fantastic, really, you know, high-impact advert, and it encourages you, oh, get a basin full of that, and you'll go and watch it.
Yeah.
And now with TV, you don't have to wait till 9 o'clock on a Sunday evening. You can watch it on catch up. So yeah. we can change the way in which we view everything.
Mm.
So long tail content, as it was in the written state, and when Google started to respond more to long tail blogs and everything like that, the same will happen with video.
Mm.
And that will, in a way, separate the wheat from the chaff, because to make long videos,
you need content.
Yes, but you also have to plan it. You have to keep the viewer engaged. And our eyes, our brains, automatically start to disengage from something that's more than 4 seconds long. So we need the visual to change suitably for us to maintain interest. And then, if you lose the audio, and going back to the caption aspect, then you're going to disengage much, much quicker.
I'm just thinking about that. Technically, if you've got, you know, like the standard interview, TV interview, where you've got an interviewer and an interviewee, and you've got that, you've got to, you know, change it. How do you change it? You know, you've got 30 minutes of interview, but after 4 seconds, they're still sat in the same place. What do you do?
You find ways, cutaways. You come back to the interview.
Right. I mean,
look at the news gathering, the ENG format.
Yeah.
You know, you get someone that's being interviewed, but there is a cutaway of the interviewer,
yeah.
and they may be just nodding their head.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll ask a question, and if you look in real terms, they'll ask that question, and then after the contributor's gone away back to the office or whatever, the cameraman will turn onto the interviewer and they will stage those questions. So when they actually interview, and that format's worked since the beginning of TV. There's no reason why that can't work if it's of value on stuff, you know, on social media. But the mobile phone is the most ubiquitous production tool out. There is a fantastic little tool. I'm going to go and look for it at the moment. It's a little video thing. Clips. It's called Clips. You can video yourself, and then you can edit clips as well. So you can actually make yourself a tiny little ENG style documentary directly off your phone, all by yourself.
Right.
You know, by going to other pictures or whatever.
I'll tell you who's doing this really well, really well, and they're probably smashing it everywhere globally, and that is Jay Shetty. So go and check him out. It's an art about what he's doing. He has taken his intention for video is to create an art piece, and it's all to do with development of self. And it is fascinating how he's come from the UK. So he was a monk for 4 years, and he's literally just decided as a speaker on stage to take his content and deliver it via video.
Right.
And that's all he does. And he is one of the biggest influencers globally of this moment with video content.
Wow, okay.
But that's all he does is deliver it.
Who is he, sorry?
Jay Shetty. So it's J-A-Y And then his last name is Shetty, Jay Shetty. Go and check him out. He's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the, I think if you look at, to talk about long form, Facebook have just proven that they want to go long form by, they obviously own Instagram, and Instagram have gone from being just Instagram to Instagram TV, which mm-hmm. is a long form format. So it used to be 15 second videos, now it's up to an hour. Like it's just proof that Facebook want it to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
long form exactly. is moving away.
I was going to say as well, when it comes to time, you summed it up earlier, Hacks, where you save videos to your phone, right? Because you haven't got time always to look at them now, but you do want to watch them, read them. Don't you think we're becoming more and more like that? You look at a box set, you won't watch it as you go, but I've been known to sit down, especially when it's raining hard, and watch three episodes or something.
Exactly.
If
exactly.
not more, back to
have you
back.
Have you been around my house? Mm. Back-to-back box sets.
Back-to-back box sets. Because you don't want to watch it and wait a week, do you? You want to sort of watch it all in one go.
Can I give you a viewing tip about that, okay? If you're watching a box set, don't wait till the end to stop watching it. Stop it halfway through.
Right.
Because it's the only way you'll pull yourself away from watching a box set.
Mm. And then go back and finish yes, it off another time.
And go back.
I was you're going to actually say as well, talk about influencers and films. There's a client of Hacks's, we won't mention the client, but they were having problems recruiting, weren't they, a new member of staff for a very specific role. And wasn't it after a party or something?
Yes, they have a monthly gathering with a bit of wine and so forth.
With their team. And Hacks did them a video about what it was like to work in this office, and it is really funny. And one of the guys even says, well, I love working here because I live around the corner. And someone else, you know, they're all a little bit not drunk, but they're a bit tipsy, you know, they've had a glass or two of wine. So this company that was not struggling but struggling to find the right person to apply for the job, off the back of that, which actually was their advert for a job, got more applicants than they'd ever had. An influencer again of actually
They filmed the whole thing themselves. They literally just put a camera up and they sat
you edited,
members of their team.
You?
They just gave me all the footage and we just edited it.
But this is what I wanted. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, though, Hacks. Me personally, I'm not a video person at all. And I don't mean that.
That's why I do radio.
That's why I do radio. I mean, I don't like seeing myself on camera, and I don't like particularly being on camera. So if you came to me and said, Paul, you need to have video for your businesses or whatever, I wouldn't know where to start. I'd go, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? As a small business, what do you recommend? What do you say to people that go, I understand I need a video, I haven't got a clue what to put in it? You know, what's the start point? What do you think about first?
Well, I think if you're going to produce video for yourself, you kind of need to kind of start training yourself to be put in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Because you've got to be kind of natural and get over that self-consciousness. So a good little tool for that is to, with your phone, talk to your camera on video for 30 seconds for 28 days consecutively. By the time you get to day 10, day 15, you've forgotten about the camera, you're not talking about socially, and then you get more and more genuine, you start talking about stuff that's much closer to your heart and whatever, and it's a really good exercise.
Right, okay.
But if you're gonna start off and you don't want to spend a lot of money and you want to get going on it, then do your frequently asked questions, the questions that your customers ask you about your business and about your product.
Okay.
And lean into those topics. That's a really great way, because you can talk to camera and say, you know, I've got a client, or my clients often ask me this, and you can end up talking about it.
Right. Okay.
Or set yourself five questions, one of which could be about what your values are and why you do what you do, and again, talk about that.
Right. Okay.
We when we first started, we'd start doing some video content for our social channels just to get some, because as you said, it's gone in that direction. We needed to start doing it. And we really struggled when we first started. I'm fine at talking in front of people. So if I was at a public speaking event, not a problem. But standing in front of the camera, singly in front of the camera and talking to it was really difficult for me. So what we started to do was to talk to each other. So talk to each other on the camera and then sort of almost invite the camera into conversation as well. Yeah. But it just, having somebody in front of to talk to, for me, made it a lot easier. And obviously, I've got the benefit of being in the partnership, so it's easier. If you're on your own, it's difficult. Yeah, yeah. But you can find people in your industry or related that you could talk to. I think that's a good way of getting around it.
And pay attention to sound.
Yes.
Sound is the quickest thing that will kill engagement.
Yeah.
And I've got a microphone in this bag here that cost me £12, and it's a dual microphone. So I can put one on me, one on my interviewee, as it were, and talk. And it's like I'm talking on this microphone here in the radio station.
Yeah. That was the best investment we did recently as well. We originally were doing it off of the phone quality, and it's just not good enough. And you have to be somewhere very quiet and no echo. Mm-hmm. And to get one of them, it's a lav mic, isn't it? Yeah. They're perfect.
Although, interestingly, because I do quite a few recorded interviews for the studio, and my sound guys go, God, there's a load of background noise. I go, I was in a hangar with 200 people. Of course there's background. Sometimes it's a bit like, your Sky News scene where your outside broadcaster's got, cruise missiles going overhead. You can't go, shh, I'm on camera. Yeah. Sometimes that background hubbub adds authenticity to what you're doing.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
But you just need to be aware of the proximity of the mic and just make sure that if you've got a noisy background, put the microphone as close as you possibly can without picking up the purrs and the shirts.
Yeah, absolutely.
They normally come with a wind protector as well. So you just put the wind protector on straight away and it stops it from picking it up.
So, Hacks, we're fast approaching the end of the show, unfortunately. We've only got a few minutes left. For you, what's happening next? Where's Prisma Broadcasting heading?
Well, I set up, or I morphed Prisma Broadcast from Hacks Media. Hacks Media really started its life as just making one video and delivering one video.
Yeah.
Now Prisma Broadcast is more about creating the strategy and creating lots of films, within the same time frame that can then be deployed over a certain period of time.
Yeah.
So I think that what we're experiencing for sure is that instead of the bigger productions, the bigger, 2 minute my story or, this is my company, it's all about the little snippets of information. I mean, I'll give you an example. Today, this morning I went to Amanda Flanders who's doing the Tech Expo.
Yeah.
And we did, 15 little vignette videos that she's going to use over the next, between now and September.
I want to see the outtakes.
Yes, exactly. There were a lot.
Yeah.
But it's fun. That's the whole point. Because I told, we both agreed, don't rehearse.
Yeah.
Well, you know the content. We'll just find it and we'll get it. And it's delivered really naturally.
Yeah.
And then from here, I'm going to go up to to Maidstone to film the award. They're not winners at the moment, but this final selection for the Maidstone Business Awards.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do lots of little 30-second vignettes of why and who they are and so forth. And that's where we're going to go.
Mm.
And it's only then when you start following a line of communication or a theme that you will then start to find the content to create long form.
Fantastic.
And long form won't necessarily be in social media.
Fantastic. Hacks, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. If people want to find out more about what you do and how you do it and to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
On Twitter, I'm Hacks Filmmaker. On Facebook and LinkedIn, it's Mike Hacks. Hacks is kind of my brand, I suppose. And my website is prismabroadcast.com. And my email is hacks@prismabroadcast.com.
Fantastic. Hacks, thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
Keep on keeping on with what you're doing. We love what you do.
Thank you.
It's great to see you again. And thank you so much for that. We're almost at the end of the show. We've got a few things that we need to cover still before we get off air. You've got an email to read, I think, Bird.
I have. It's very important. Kent Charities to benefit from a £2 million endowment legacy. The Collier Ferguson Million Pound Match Challenge, which matched £1 million in donations via Kent Community Foundation, has awarded its first grant. So Kent Charities and Social Enterprises will be excited to learn that new match funding of £2 million has been invested in perpetuity. Is that right?
In perpetuity.
Thank you via Kent Community Foundation. And the income gained every year will be used for charitable grant making to support young people in Kent and Medway. So the first grant is of £3,600 and that's been awarded to Uprising Youth and Community who support young people, families and communities facing significant challenges to achieve improvements in life, and that's resulting in personal and community transformation. Now, go onto their website, www.uprisinguk.org.uk. The next one is Nicholas Fisher. Now, he's the chairman of Collier Ferguson Charitable Trust and comments, in its 15th anniversary year, Collier Ferguson Charitable Trust is delighted to be celebrating this important milestone in its history by building a $2 million endowment legacy that will give ongoing support to disadvantaged young people in Kent and Medway. So we had Josephine McCartney in here. She's the chief executive of Kent Community Foundation. She also comments about how delighted she is that the Collier Ferguson Charitable Trust made the decision to invest $1 million with Kent Community Foundation as a match fund. So there's 13 individuals, families, trusts, foundations and businesses that have taken the opportunity to be part of this and have seen their donations matched £1 for £1. And the first grant has been awarded to Ashford-based Uprising Youth and the community. And we are looking forward to offering financial support to many more local causes through this new funding. And this is charities and social enterprises can find out more and apply for funding at www.kentcf.org.uk/apply. A bit of a long-winded one, but
important.
Amazing.
Important. Yeah, fantastic. Listen, I've just looked up at my Twitter and I've got 194 tweets unread so far. So I'm not going to get round to them. I'm going to get round to this one, and then that's probably the last one I'm going to be able to do today. It's from Alison Palmer at the FSB, Kent and Medway, and she says, "Dear Vanilla Webb, we would love a Business Bunker shout out, please, for an event that's happening on Friday, the 21st of June, from 9 a.m. till noon in Tunbridge Wells. And it's about the armed forces. It's about hiring veterans. People from the armed forces can be a great asset to your business. Find out more about recruiting ex-forces personnel. And there's a whole heap of panel speakers, including ex-forces person himself, MP for Tunbridge, Mr. Tom Tuggenhat. I'm going to be there as well. It's on the 21st of June. You can book by going to a bit.ly shortened thing, so you can't. So the easiest thing to do is to follow FSB Southeast on the Twitter or FSB Kent and find out about it. But it's the 21st of June in Tunbridge Wells, and it's recruiting people from the armed forces.
Nice.
So do get along to that. We're kind of at the end of another show. I need to tell you about our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, which happens on a Friday and is presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. This Friday at 11 a.m, Amanda is joined by Aaron Taylor, and Aaron is the CEO of 6-2 Technology, and the co-host for the show is the lovely Julie Daniel, the chic stylist on Twitter. So do tune in for that on Friday, 11 o'clock, the Business Bunker Extra Show. I'm sorry if we didn't get round to reading one of your 194 tweets, 195 now. We will try and get round to them eventually. And I've still got loads of emails I haven't read as well.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a busy show. I want to say a massive thank you to this week's guest, Mr. Carl Cow from JK Online. Carl, thank you so much. The lovely Nettie. Nettie from Rift Accounting. That's it. I knew it would come to
there
me eventually.
It is.
Yeah. The lovely Annette Bum from Rift Accounting. Thank you so much. And our fantastic guest, Mike Hagger, best known as Hacks to everyone. So thank you so much for another fantastic show. And also the lovely
Bird on a Bike.
For co-hosting once again. We'll be back next week with another show. In the meantime, have a fantastic week. We'll see you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye for now.
See ya.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.